Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at our gospel lesson for a few moments this morning. Now, our gospel is two miracle stories joined together because they have a common theme, which is faith in Christ, which is created and nurtured by the authoritative word of Christ. We learn, first of all, that a leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, the first question is this: where did this leper get the idea that Jesus could cleanse him of his leprosy? It was because he had heard the word of the Lord. He had heard from his childhood the teachings of the scriptures, the Old Testament, and he had been picking up the rumors that were going around even to the leper colonies of Jesus and the miracles that he was doing. And so faith cometh by hearing the word of God. It is the word of God, it's God's own word, through which the Holy Ghost works, and he is the one who ignites and nurtures faith. So nobody ever comes to faith apart from the work of the Holy Ghost in the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But there's another thing that we must not miss here. Yes, the leper had come to believe with firm confidence that Jesus could cleanse him of his leprosy. But we must also consider this, and that is that the leper in the scripture is a picture for you and me of what it means to be corrupted and lost in sin. Leprosy is a type of original sin. It is a type of our corrupted nature. It is a type of the fallenness of all people. But you know, we really resent it when we are reminded of it. And as a matter of fact, later on in the story, Jesus says, "Many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why will the sons of the kingdom, those whom you would most likely think would be in it and enjoying it, why are they thrown out and many from the east and west included? It's because by buying into a religion of works righteousness and legalistic religion, they had strayed away from the messianic promise. Just like many so-called Christians who their focus on their life is on their works. They're very impatient with hearing about faith and the atonement and the grace of God. They want to be told things that they can go home to do. They want the pastor to give them a to-do list, so that by the end of the week, they have things that they've checked off because they've done them, because the pastor really knows how to preach, and he knows how to give me a to-do list, and I love to get stuff done. All right? And people like that very often hate the gospel. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes hated Jesus. Why? Because, you see, you can never, listen to this, you can never treasure the good news of Jesus Christ unless you understand that you are a leper. Do you understand that? Until you see your sin, until you see your abject need for salvation, mercy, and grace, the gospel will make you yawn, or it'll bore you. It'll make you yearn for something that hops in church. You see what I'm talking about? And so, in order for us to ever rejoice in Christ and the treasure of the gospel and cling to it with thankful hearts, we first have to come to him like lepers. All right, this man had no illusions about himself. He was an outcast. He was a pariah. He had to stand apart from other people and shout, "Unclean!" lest anyone come in contact with him and therefore become a leper themselves. All right? So this man had no illusions about his own goodness, his own worthiness. He did not come because he felt worthy to come. He came because he heard about Jesus and his merciful grace for all kinds of people in need. And faith was born in his heart. And he comes and he worships Jesus and he confesses faith. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean. If it be thy will, you are able to cleanse me." Jesus, hearing this confession of faith, he says to the man, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, how would we apply this to ourselves? And, it's this. We come to the Lord with our sins. And we say, "Lord, if you will, you can forgive me all my sins." And Jesus says, "I will. Be thou forgiven." You see what Jesus was doing here, but in this interaction with the leper, he was showing us the graciousness of absolution, the assurance that our sins are indeed forgiven before God. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All of his miracles are signs of his saving work for sinners. So when we see him cleansing the leper, we are being reminded that he came into the world to redeem lost and sinful mankind by his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And so when we read the story of the leper, we are reading of our own cleansing and our own forgiveness, our own redemption, and the word of absolution, which comforts the heart of everyone who knows he's a sinner, who knows he doesn't deserve salvation, but has heard that Jesus is a redeemer of sinners and is thankful once again to hear the blessed word, "Your sins are forgiven." But you see, those people who are all focused on the victorious Christian life. You know, don't tell me about atonement. Don't tell me about all that grace stuff. Don't tell me about all that doctrinal stuff. I'm bored with that kind of stuff, they say. What I want to know is, how can I live the victorious Christian life? Well, let me tell you, you can victorious Christian life yourself right into hell. All right? Because if you put your performance ahead of your faith in Christ, so that Christ becomes nothing more than a means by which you achieve things, well, then you don't have faith in Christ. You see what I'm saying? It's easy. It's easy to fall into the deception of works righteousness, to think, I'm not a leper. I may have some faults, but I'm not a leper. I'm a strong Christian. And when the pastor starts preaching about doctrine, it bores the living daylights out of me. Right? But I'm a strong Christian, and I have a very strong faith. Jesus says, the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a faith which is not faith. It is presumption. And so first thing that we learn today is, when the word of the gospel comes to us, it is inviting us to say, I, a sinner, I, with nothing in my hands that I can bring or contribute, I come to Jesus, and Jesus tells me in his word that he is both willing and able to save me and to forgive me all my sins. That, my friends, is the essence of the Christian faith. All right, so we move on. The centurion. And here we have this thing that often happens in the Bible, but it still shocks us in the world today, because, you know, you ever have those people who you meet and you say, boy, what a great Christian that guy would make. You know, man, wouldn't it be great to have that guy as a member of our church? Or that woman, wouldn't she be great as a member of our church? She's such an impressive person. You know, our church, we really need people like that, right? And yet we find in our lives that those are the very people who are the least likely to ever come into the kingdom of God. All right? They are the least likely. The people that we think are the most likely are the ones who yawn in our faces and make excuses. And the ones we don't even think about, the ones that we say, right? They're the ones who come streaming in, right? St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, consider your calling, brethren, right? I'm going to turn there because it's so good. He says, consider your calling. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All right? And so it is. Very often in life, we've said of certain people we've come in contact with, wouldn't they make a great church member? And it's just those people who would never dream of joining a church. And then there are the people that we dismiss. We think they're not worth paying any attention to, how we are. And yet those people, they hear something and go, what? What? And they come. And not only do they come, but they become members, and they become a blessing in the midst of God's congregation. The people you least expect are the ones mostly who come, and the ones you really expect, right, They don't. And so back to our story. This centurion, he's a Roman soldier. Not only that, he's an officer of Roman soldiers. So in the eyes of the Jews, he's a bad guy. He's the oppressor, right? This guy comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." So he informs Jesus of what the problem is and he lays it at the feet of Jesus. Jesus responds to the man by saying, curiously enough, "I will come and heal him." So Jesus promises to not only heal the guy, but to come in person and heal him. The centurion, and this is where the story just, it just becomes amazing, all right? The centurion answered and says, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof." So he understands himself as not deserving God's grace. All right? But he says, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He's, "I'm not worthy. I know I'm not worthy. But I know who you are, and I know what authority you have, and I know what power you have, and I know that if you speak the word alone, you just give the word, and what you say will happen." Right? And he explains himself. He says, "Listen, I'm a soldier. Right? I'm a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. I say to this guy, do it, and he does it. Come, and he comes. Go, and he goes. My servant, do this, and he does it. I know what it means to both have authority and to be under authority. Therefore, say the word, and my servant shall be healed." So here's this Roman soldier, an officer, a Gentile, the least likely person that you'd think would come to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and confesses profound faith in Jesus to be able to speak a word and to send disease and tribulation fleeing away. Jesus hears this, and the Bible says that Jesus marveled. Jesus was just shocked by this guy's response. He was amazed by it. And he says, "Verily I say unto you," that is, "I tell you the truth, I have not found faith like this in the whole land of Israel. In the place where you would expect to find it, I have not found it like this. And yet in this place where I didn't expect to find it, boom, there it is. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God." This centurion had heard all about Jesus. When the problem came up and the servant was sick, the centurion says, "I'm going to go to Jesus because he has authority and he will help me." And so he goes in faith to Jesus and he demonstrates his faith in the word of God. The last thing I want to say to you is this. Many Christians think that the Bible is a book of information and that you read the Bible or you get told what the Bible says, and then you go off seeking some way to find what the Bible says God has for you. All right? So you want to be saved. You read the information about being saved in the Bible, and then you go off gaping in vain to heaven for grace. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? No, listen. As thou hast believed, so be it unto you. Speak the word, and it shall happen. What this passage is teaching us is that God in Christ not only proclaims his promises to us in the word, but he offers his blessings to us in the word, and he delivers them to us in the word. You see? You see what I'm saying is that the word is the central means of grace. It is the instrument by which God not only tells you, but offers to you and delivers to you all of his saving benefits. And faith is the empty hands which receive the offered and given gift. Faith doesn't do anything to get you saved. Faith receives the work of God, which comes to us in the proclamation of the Word of God. When you read Luther, Luther is always talking about the external Word and sacraments. What does he mean, external? He means the Word that comes to your ears from outside. All right? The literal words that are read to you and preached to you. That's the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit gives you faith and strengthens faith. And what are the sacraments? The sacraments are visible elements connected to the promises of the gospel. So that when you use these visible elements, water, bread, and wine, that are connected to the promises of the gospel, you receive the benefits of the gospel through the word, which is connected to the elements. All right? That's what it means to be Lutherans, to understand that God comes to us with his saving benefits by means of the external word and the sacraments, not in the musings of our own imagination. All right? Not out of the blue sky somewhere, but where is God graciously present? Wherever his word is. All right? And so today we are strengthened in our understanding of the grace of God, which is given to us in the word of God. And we pray that God would enable us always to come as unworthy beggars and come as lepers needing to be cleansed, because our salvation does not depend on us. It is 100% the work of Christ for us and to us. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.